RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Welcome back to Strange Tales. Thanks for joining me once again. We'll hear this week from The Strange Dr. Weird, a series that aired over Mutual Broadcast System stations from November 1944 to July of 1945. We'll hear two episodes. They're short, 12 to 15 minutes each. First episode is Murder Comes Home. That one aired December 5th, 1944. That'll be followed with the April 24th, 1945 episode titled The Ghost Ship. Here's The Strange Dr. Weird.
Adam Hatz presents The Strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? Surely you're not nervous. Perhaps it will calm you if I tell you a story. The story of a prodigal son's homecoming. I call it Murder Comes Home. My story, Murder Comes Home, starts in a small house on the bank of a river just outside the city. Mrs. Barnes, who was very feeble, lived there with her younger son, Tom. One evening after the doctor had paid her a visit, Tom stopped him as he was leaving.
Doctor, tell me the truth. How is she?
She's very weak, Tom. Unless we can persuade her to go to the hospital within a few days, I'm afraid I won't be able to save her.
I see. But you know how she is about not leaving this house until my brother Harry comes home again.
She hasn't seen him for 10 years, has she?
No. She doesn't know that he's in the state penitentiary for life. For murder. It would kill her if she ever found out.
I see. Well, perhaps you can get her to agree to come to the hospital just for a few days. Suppose you go in and see, huh? I'll wait downstairs.
All right, Doctor. I'll try.
Tom, is that you?
Yes, Mother. Would you like me to close the window?
No, Tom. Leave it open. It's foggy out, isn't it?
Yes. You can hardly see your hand in front of your face.
I like to hear the river. I've heard it every day for 30 years. For 30 years, I've watched the cliffs on the riverbank coming closer and closer as the river eats them away.
Mother, I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yes?
It's not safe here now. We're going to have to move out of this house soon.
Not till Harry comes back, Tom. He wouldn't know where to find me if we moved.
Yes, he would, Mother. Please listen to me. You could...
No, Tom. Not till Harry comes home. He is coming home soon. I know he is. I can feel it. He'll be here soon, Tom. Then we can move. After Harry gets here.
All right, Mother.
I can feel him getting closer and closer. It won't be long now, Tom. We must be ready for him.
Yes, of course. Good night, Mother. It's no use, Doctor. She has a mind made up that Harry will be here any minute.
Well, that's rather...
Excuse me.
Certainly.
Hello? Yes, speaking. Oh, hello, Sheriff. What? He did. Yes. Yes, I understand. Of course I will. Goodbye. Doctor, that was Sheriff Goodright. He said Harry and a companion escaped from the penitentiary early this evening by killing a guard.
What?
Then they stopped a motorist and took his car. The sheriff thinks they may be heading this way. Maybe that's why Mother felt Harry would be here soon.
Our cast returns in a moment with the final action in tonight's story of Dr. Weird. Meantime, I'd like to ask the good doctor one little question.
What question, young man?
Do you always think of horrible, terrifying things?
No. Only last evening I was out getting a breath of air.
Ah, you breathe.
Yes. And I saw some Adam hats. They were fine-looking hats. I walked in, tried one on. And what do you think?
What?
I look just like a person.
Well, thank you, Doctor. Gentlemen, if Dr. Weird can look just like a human being by just putting on an Adam hat, think how much a smart Adam hat can do for a normal-looking man. Seriously, I hope you'll stroll by an Adam hat store yourself sometime soon. The latest fall and winter line is in. You'll see a great variety of up-to-the-minute hats in every size, color, and style, including the Adam 5, made of fine fur felt and only $5. You'll be proud to wear an Adam, and you'll be correct, too. Select your favorite at any price from $3.45 to $10. There are thousands of Adam hat stores and authorized dealers from coast to coast. Now, here's that man again, Dr. Weird.
Now I'll finish my story, Murder Comes Home. After the doctor left, Tom remained on guard with a loaded revolver. And just after midnight...
Hello, Tom.
So you did come here.
Where else would I go? Come on, Jake.
Okay.
No, you can't come in. It would kill Mother to...
Oh, yes. How is Mother?
Tom?
Isn't that her calling now?
Quiet. Yes, Mother?
Tom, is that Harry?
Yes, Mother, it's Harry. Come to see you.
I knew you'd come, son.
I'll be up in a minute, Mother. Oh, well, Tom, aren't you going to ask us in?
Now that she knows you're here, I have no choice.
Thanks. Oh, Tom, meet a pal of mine, Jake Paget.
What is this, Harry? You said we'd be safe here. This mug meets us with a gun in his mitt.
Oh, don't worry about Tom. He'll warm up to us presently. Now, you stay here and talk to him while I run upstairs and say hello to my dear old mother. Well, Mother was so glad to see me, Tom, that you really ought to put that gun away and ask us to stay a while.
Yes, Harry. Now you are going to stay until the sheriff gets here anyway.
Hey, you're not going to turn us in.
No.
No. I told Mother I couldn't stay, that I had a long journey to make. But suppose tomorrow she learns that I've been arrested. Then what?
It would kill her. But I'll see to it that she doesn't find out.
And I'll see to it she does. If you turn me in,
you'd kill your own mother?
That won't be necessary if you'll just be reasonable. All we want is to hide here for 24 hours.
I...
Listen. A car just stopped outside.
Probably the sheriff. Well, Tom, make up your mind.
All right. Get in the closet there, both of you. I'll send the sheriff away.
That's more like it. Come on, Jake.
I'm with you.
Coming. Oh, but you, Sheriff.
Yeah, Tom. We're sure your brother's someplace in the neighborhood. Thought we you might have come here. Seen any sign of him?
No, not yet, anyway.
You never know. Want me to leave a man with you just in case?
No, I'll be all right. I have a gun.
All right, okay. I'll be back later.
All right, Sheriff.
So long.
All right, he's gone. You can come out now.
Now, you're acting like a brother, Tom.
Yeah, that's more like it.
The sheriff said he'd be back later, though.
Well, in that case, suppose I just take the gun of yours, Tom.
You can't.
Good work, Harry.
Now, Tom, you just do as we agreed and everything will be all right. We can't get any place in this fog tonight. It's so thick you can't see a foot ahead of you. But tomorrow night, they'll be off guard. We'll be able to get away.
Harry, listen.
Dogs. They brought up bloodhounds to track us with.
And they're coming this way. What do we do?
It's no use hiding. If the dogs track us here, they'll know we're inside someplace.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we'll
fight
right for it. If we can get two or three of them, we may have a chance to break through.
No, Harry, listen. I've got a better idea.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
My rowboat. You remember how we used to run the rapids when we were kids?
Yeah, I remember.
The boat's still there. In this fog, you could float down the river 20 miles before morning.
Yeah. They'll never catch us that way.
I promise they won't. You can go out the kitchen door and down the steps into the backyard. Then follow the path to the riverbank.
Okay. Jake, get going. Through the kitchen there.
I got you. I'm on my way.
Now, Tom, I'll just take this coat of yours.
Harry!
I'm coming.
Hurry. I hear somebody outside.
Okay.
Get going, Harry.
I'm going. They'll never catch me. Never.
Tom, over. Tom, why didn't you... Well, man, what's the matter?
I had to do it. I had to. They'd have killed you.
What are you talking about, Tom?
Harry and Jake. They were here. I told them how to escape. Through the kitchen and down the back step to the path that leads down to the riverbank. To my boat.
Well, they won't get away. I'm going after...
Wait, Sheriff. Wait, nothing. Let go my arm, Tom. I'll get those two murdering rats.
Sheriff, wait. You don't understand. Shine your flashlight down there. At the foot of the steps.
Great glory. There ain't any ground at the foot of those steps. When they stepped off the last step, they had a sheer 100-foot drop to the river and the rocks down there. Well, they escaped this time right enough. From human law, anyway.
Harry and Jake escaped, all right. Even if it was in a way they didn't quite expect. And Mrs. Barnes at last agreed to move. Just in time, too. The house was merely standing on the edge of a cliff. And it was only a month or so before another slide carried the house away completely. Do you live at the top of a cliff? If you do, you... Oh, you have to go now. Too bad. But perhaps you'll drop in again soon. I'm always home. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weir.
The Strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? Your hand is shaking. Surely you're not afraid of me. Perhaps it would steady you to hear a little story that was just told to me.
The story of a strange ship that sails the seven seas with no crew save death and no passengers except the dead. I call the story The Ghost Ship. My story, The Ghost Ship, begins in a badly battered lifeboat, pitching and tossing on the surface of the South Atlantic. Three men wearily bail out the water which the breaking waves constantly pour into the boat. A fourth man, burly and broad-shouldered, is at the tiller.
All right, bail her, men, bail her. The water's gaining on us.
What's the use of bailing? We'll never make land. Why don't we admit we're done for and get it over with?
Stow that, bosun. We may sight a ship any minute.
You've been saying that every day for a week, man.
Captain, captain!
Yeah, what is it, cook?
Hey, tank, it's a ship. You snow AC here. There to port.
All right, look sharp, man.
Oh, I don't see anything. Just another false alarm.
No, no, it's not. Captain Arcee, you're... It's a small steamer heading this way.
Yeah, I can make her out now. She's heading straight for us.
It's a ship, all right. But she looks mighty funny. Look how low she is in the water. See the way she steers.
She does kind of stagger back and forth.
Maybe her steering gear broke.
And there's no smoke from her funnels either. If you ask me, she's a derelict.
Well, maybe she is. Even a derelict is better than this lifeboat. The wind's carrying across our cords. And we're going to board her.
Half an hour later, the lifeboat rubbed against the side of the strange ship. The four hungry, weary men clambered aboard her and found themselves greeted only by the uncanny silence of a deserted ship.
See? What did I tell you? This here's a derelict, a blooming derelict.
Yeah, she's a derelict, all right. Look at her ironwork, covered with rust. I'd say she's been drifting about for a good many months.
Suppose there'd be no grub or water aboard her, that's what worries me.
Now, that's what we're going to find out right now. Cook and I'll search the starboard side of the ship. You other two search the port side. Look lively now. We'll meet in the chart room in 30 minutes. All right, bosun, what did you find?
We didn't find nothing. Not a single solitary thing.
That's all right, Captain. Of course, we're so low in the water that all the holds in the cabins below deck are half flooded. But we searched everything else, and we didn't find a thing.
Well, Cook and I had better luck. We found the galley dry and plenty of canned grub in it. I left Cook rustling up some chow. He'll be bringing us a hot meal any minute now.
Hot food, doggone. That's what I was wanting to hear.
What I want to know is, why was this freighter abandoned? That's it.
Huh?
What? This is the Mermaid Cove.
What?
Yes. There's a name on the logbook. She's a ghost ship. Do you hear me? We come aboard a ghost ship. We've got to get off her or we'll die.
Bosun, get hold of yourself,
well,
will you?
Well, it's true. This is the Mermaid Girl, and every seaman in the world knows about it.
Well, sir, I don't. Captain, what is this here Mermaid Girl business?
Well, the story of the Mermaid Girl is a curious one. 2 years ago, she had her hull stove in a hurricane, but she's loaded with lumber and cork, which is why she never sunk. Well, the first night out after the storm, one of the crew disappeared.
The next night, two more men went, and two more the night after.
I'm telling this, bosun.
It's true, every word of it.
It's true, the men disappeared. Rest of the crew mutinied and abandoned ship. Only one lifeboat with five men in it ever made port. They're the ones who spread the story.
And ever since then, the Mermaid Girl's been drifting. A ghost ship with death at the helm. I tell you, we've got to get off her, or we'll die, too.
Captain!
That's a cook. Quick, outside. Something's happened to him.
Captain, look. There on the deck, a tray. Dishes and food. Cook was bringing us grub. And now he's vanished.
Say, Doctor, do you know you've been on the air for 25 weeks now? Evidently, people like your radio show.
That makes me very happy. And I thank them from the bottom of my cold-blooded heart.
Coming from you, Doctor, that's really warm sentiment. And while we're about it, the makers of Atom Hats would like to thank the many men who have recognized the superiority of Atom Hats this season. Gentlemen, you've been keeping our thousands of stores and authorized dealers mighty busy. And no wonder. Wide varieties in 100% correct styles, combined with finest quality materials and craftsmanship, make Atom Hats America's outstanding hat value. The well-dressed man particularly appreciates the wide choice of shapes and shades available at their Adam Hat Store. Tomorrow, step into the Adam Hat Store nearest you and ask to see the new line of Adam Hats, priced sensibly from $3.45 to $10. Now, Dr. Weird, on with the show.
And now to continue my story, the ghost ship. It is night, and in the inky darkness, half submerged, the derelict steamship Mermaid Girl drifts onward across the wave-tossed surface of the South Atlantic. Huddled in the chart room, with two flickering lanterns for light, the three shipwrecked survivors discuss the strange disappearance of the cook, the fourth member of their group.
I tell you, the spook got him. Or the devil, or whatever it is that's put a curse on this ship.
It takes more than a spook to make a grown man vanish without trace, bosun.
The sea's different from the land. There's devils that haunt the ocean no land lover can know about. You've heard of the Flying Dutchman, haven't you, Tex?
Uh-huh. Reckon I have. What about her?
For 100 years or more, manned by phantoms, she's been sailing the seven seas, full rigged and always running with the storm dead astern. The devils of the sea put a curse on her. And so the Flying Dutchman will sail on forever.
The Flying Dutchman is just a sailor's superstition, bosun. You know it.
And I suppose this ship we're on now is just a superstition, too. And the fact that she's been drifting for 2 years with no end at her helm. I tell you, we've got to get off her, or else we'll die.
We can't get off her. Our lifeboat swamped when we came aboard. So stow that kind of talk, bosun.
That's what I say, too. I don't believe in spooks or devils. Fact is, I got me a notion to go down to the galley right now and rustle up some grub.
You want the same thing that happened to the cook to happen to you?
Oh, nothing happened to me. Captain, you got an extra revolver in your pocket?
Yeah.
Well, now, just you let me take it and I'll face anything to get me some grub. Well, it's 3 days since we had food, and I'm too hungry to wait for morning.
All right, here's the extra gun. It has 3 shells in it. And take this lantern, but look sharp.
I'll do that, Captain. And I'll bring back whatever I can carry.
Good.
And if I meet any spooks, I'll bring them back, too.
You shouldn't have let him go, Captain.
He'll be all right with a light and a gun. We don't need food.
You'll see, Captain, this ship's a ghost ship. And you, listen.
Come on, we gotta go to his
rescue. No, Captain, it's too late. It's got him, whatever it is that's haunting this ship. And if we got out there now, it'll get us, too.
All night, the two men huddled in the chart room, the doors bolted, the memory of Tex's screams ringing in their ears. In the morning, with a fog covering the sea, they cautiously emerged and searched the ship, the captain keeping his revolver always ready. And they found...
Nothing! That's what we found, Captain. Nothing but a smashed lantern and the empty gun lying on the deck where Tex has dropped them.
Well, frankly, I think Tex and the cook went out of their heads and jumped overboard. There's absolutely nothing on this ship that could have harmed them.
But there is. Only it's something you can't see unless it wants you to see it.
Ah, oh, that's ridiculous. Bosun, listen to me. I tell you...
Captain, wait.
What is it? Listen. What is it, Job? It's a foghorn. It's a steamship someplace in the fog off the starboard of us.
Get in this way. But you'll never see us. Look how fast the fog's thickening.
Yeah. We got to work fast. There's a hand-operated foghorn up in the bow of this vessel. Get up forward and start sounding it. I'll hunt for distress rockets. We've got to attract attention before that ship gets too far away.
Aye, sir. I'll signal an SOS with the orms.
Good man. Oh, she's passing the stern of us. Blast this fog. If it hadn't thickened up so fast, we'd have been sighted.
Captain!
Yeah, what is it, bosun?
Captain, he's on me! It's
dragging
me to all the old
cabin.
Help! Help!
I'm coming, bosun. Bosun, where are you?
Captain, down here, in the hole. Help me.
In the hole? Bosun, what's happened?
Captain, it's an octopus.
What?
A giant octopus. It's got me down here in the hole. A tentacle caught me. You know, pulled me in.
An octopus. So that's it. That's the devil that's been haunting this ship. I can see it, bosun. Just under the water. I'm going to try and shoot it.
Hurry.
All right, devil, take that. And that.
It's a...
My gun's empty. I've got a... A giant tentacle around my legs. I can't get loose. It's pulling me down into the hole, too. If I can only... I can't... Help!
No wonder the shipwrecked sailors who boarded the Mermaid Girl could find nothing. The devil who haunted her was an underwater devil whose presence they couldn't guess. And so the Mermaid Girl still drifts on across the seven seas, with death in the shape of a giant octopus, her captain, and dead men, her only crew. Perhaps someday... Oh, you have to go now. I do hope you'll drop in again soon. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weir.
That's it for Strange Tales this week. If you want to find more from The Strange Doctor, past episodes of Strange Tales, thousands of other old-time radio episodes, and everything else Relic Radio, just visit RelicRadio.com. Easy enough. Click on that donate button while you're there if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. It's how this keeps coming to you every week. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Sunday with a story from Escape on another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.